Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This message this morning was actually the introduction to the message tonight. And it turned into its own message because that's what God laid on my heart. But tonight I want to talk about four last things that are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to use 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 through 8 as a jump off point for this, because it brings up the first of these last things. And it says here in this passage, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." You know, if you don't know the gospel of Christ, you are doomed.
Right.
If you don't know the gospel of Christ, you cannot stand. If you do not know the gospel of Christ, you cannot experience God's grace. It says, "But by which also ye are what? Saved. There is no salvation in any other except Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." Oh, I pray that we haven't believed in vain. It's not a head knowledge, it's a heart knowledge. From the heart come the issues of life. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. In verse 3 it says, "For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received. Now that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the what?
Scriptures.
And that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all,
me.
He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time." Last of all, says Paul, he was seen of me. The last enemy in this chapter, he says, is death. The last Adam, says Paul, points to Christ. The last trump, he says in this chapter, reminds us of Christ's second coming. Oh, we need to look at things that last. We hear His words that last forever. And so what a great theme for our message tonight, these four points. First of all, we talk about the last witness. We go back to verse 8. It says, "And last of all, He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time." See, this is the triumph of His resurrection. There's a lot of people going down the wrong path. There's a lot of people following a dead Buddha. There's a lot of people following a dead Mahatma. There's a lot of people following a dead Confucius. There's a lot of people following dead prophets in Hinduism. But we serve a risen Savior.
Amen.
He's in the world. He's not God of the dead. He's God of the living. And this is the triumph of His resurrection. In these first 8 verses, we see this. See, the world puts a stigma on being last. You never want to be last. But folks, I would rather be last with Christ than first in the world. Amen?
Amen.
And the last with God gets the same benefit. In Matthew chapter 20, there's a parable of the husbandman that hired out laborers. And he contracted with these workers in the morning. He says, "You work all day, and I'll give you a penny, a day's wages." Then later on at 11 o'clock, he finds some more. And he says, "I'll pay you whatever's fair." And then he picks up some more in the afternoon. He picks up some in the late evening at the 11th hour. And he says, "Whatever to pay, whatever's fair, I'm going to pay you." And they all went to work. They all went to work. And then you know the story of what happened. The last to be hired came first, and they got a penny. And then each other ones came, and they also got a penny. And those ones that worked all day, they thought what? That they were going to get more. But the point was is that they got what the Lord said that they were given. See, the point is, it doesn't matter. You just get the benefit if you get saved earlier in life and working for God longer. But you still get the same salvation. You still get the same home in heaven. You get fewer rewards possible. But the point is, the last, God gets the same benefit of salvation, gets the same benefit of His grace. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 16, as Christ is explaining this parable, He says, "So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be what? Called, but few chosen." Oh, don't. If you're the last one to go to heaven, you're still going there.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. See, the point is not to be left out. The point is Christ went to the cross to die for mankind's sin, to pay the penalty for that, to be the perfect sacrifice to God. He was buried, and on the third day He rose, and He went to others to show that He was God, the resurrected Christ. What He had been telling His disciples for months had come to pass. And so, they had witnesses. And we're supposed to be what? Witnesses too. We are witnesses of His resurrection power. Oh, we have someone receive Christ this morning at His service. And they are another witness. They're the last ones here from the church, but they're still going to heaven, folks. They're still going to heaven. So we see here the last witness. You know, if you're the last witness, that's fine. And you know what we should do? We should keep on working to make more last witnesses. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The second one is the last enemy in verses 24 and 26 of this passage. It says, "Then cometh the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall put down all rule and authority." And here's the key, talking about Christ. "For He must reign." As much as He was the plan of God to bring salvation to mankind, as much as He is the plan of God to give us grace and all these benefits, He's coming back to reign. Everything we know in Revelation, everything's going to be brought back to Him, taken from Satan and given back to Christ, the rightful one. The rightful one. And it says, "When she hath put down all rule and all authority and power, for He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet." The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Spurgeon says we need to save the last enemy to last. Amen. And the point is that we see it's the triumph of Christ's reign. He's ruling from heaven right now. He is in charge. He's not the old man upstairs. He needs to be held in reverence. He's the holy God, the creator of the universe, the one that's only can be told, holy, holy, holy.
Yes.
Lord God Almighty, who is, was, is to come. See, the triumph of His reign, the sting of death is removed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 23, verse 22, Paul actually says that death is a gift to the Christian. Okay? Because here's what happens. The sting of death has been removed. Death has been disarmed. Disarmed. Not to cause any more fear. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 55 and 56, Paul writes, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. But we are no longer under sin. We are under grace. For sin shall have no dominion over you. For he that is dead to sin." We need to be alive to righteousness. The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. All the triumph of the grave. The sting of death is removed. We are delivered from death. We are delivered from death. Paul writes to the Romans. And he's talking about the law. And he's talking about grace. And he's talking about that you can't keep the law. You need God's grace. Chapter 6, he talks about sin and the Christian's relationship with sin. We won't have dominion. Or don't yield yourselves to it. chapter 7, he talks about what we talked about Wednesday night, about that the psalmist wanted to praise God and be have the blessing to be obedient. And he knew what the commandments of God were in 119:5. But he couldn't find the strength to do it. And so he goes to chapter 7. He says, I know what I want to do. I find it's a hard thing. You know, it's hard sometimes. It's hard. And so in Romans chapter 7, verses 24 and 25, Paul cries out like this. He says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And he figures it out and says, there is now therefore no condemnation to them who walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh. And so the first enemy here in chapter 15 is the last witness. Not the first last thing. It's the last witness. And the last enemy is death. Okay? Death opens an eternity with God. In the next letter that he writes to the Corinthians, Paul writes this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved by what? Physical death. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the where?
Heavens.
For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we are in this tabernacle, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that what? That mortality might be swallowed up of life. See, we need to hear the words of life. We need to take heed because in there's life. In there we can do well. If we hear the words of Christ, says, now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is who? God, who hath also given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. So the first last thing that we find in 1 Corinthians is the last witness, Paul. Then we see the last enemy, which is death, and is put underfoot. Then he goes on in verse 45 and talks about the last Adam. The last Adam. In verse 45, 1 Corinthians 15, it says, and as it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. If you know the Genesis account, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and God made him a living soul. But the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. See, there's the curse of the first Adam. And that's what Paul was talking about in previous verses here. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, we know this. It says, wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You know, you can blame Eve, but it's Adam's fault. It's Adam's fault. Death is passed upon all, for he sinned. He was the first one man. He should have known that. He should have known that. So we see the first and the fourth Adam, it says, he was made a living soul, but then he sinned, which put him at enmity with God. And God made a way. God had a plan. Before the time he even breathed the breath of life into Adam, he knew what he was going to have to do. Send his son. The cure of the last Adam, who is Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 21 says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so my grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life. By who? Jesus Christ our Lord. Folks, Christ is all we need. Christ is all we should worship. Christ is all we should serve. Christ is everything to us. He's everything to us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul writes this, and you hath he quickened brought back to life, taken from the grips of sin and death, and put on to eternal life. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. We see the last witness. We see the last enemy. We see the last Adam. But then finally we hear the last trump. The last trump. In 1 Corinthians 51, verse 52, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And I'm not going to use that joke. Okay? You know what I'm talking about. It's not for the nursery workers. This is for everyone. Okay? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Are you groaning for this? Are you groaning for Christ coming back? Are you working for that? Are you watching?
Amen.
Are you watching? In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This is the triumph of his return. Even, you know, this morning we talked in Revelation chapter 22, and in the spirit of the bride say, come. What does John say? Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
John wanted to come right then and there. But we know that we're a couple thousand years even closer now. Christ could come back any day. And this is going to happen. It's the eternal change. It's the eternal change. In verses 53 and 54 says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. See, God's got to change us. Because the condition for going into heaven is be therefore perfect, even as your Father is in heaven is perfect. We can't do it on ourselves. We have to be quickened by Christ. We have to be covered by his blood. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the same that is written. Death is swallowed up in victory.
Amen.
Oh, doesn't that excite you? That should encourage you. We've got hope. There's a better day coming.
Amen.
It's the eternal change. It's the eternal victory. In verse 57 it says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory from our Lord Jesus Christ. So, looking forward to this should give us the last subpoint, an eternal outlook. The eternal outlook. Verse 58 closes out this chapter. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast.
Amen.
There are too many wishy-washy people in the world. But we sang a song. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. Folks, it's time to believe that song. That's scripture. That's scripture. Because of all these things that we see there in the shepherds, therefore, my beloved brothers, be ye steadfast, unmovable. We can't be tossed about by different doctrines. We can't say that this, that sounds good, let's try this. No! We need to stick to the Word of God and be unmovable. There are fundamental truths. There are absolute truths,
right,
and they come from God.
Right.
Amen.
They come from God. And then what does it say here? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. That second call this morning was to be a call to commitment. It was a cry of completion and a call to commitment. There's work yet to be done. We still have time, but it's our job to do the work. And we need to be always not just doing the minimum. The minimum are for physical fitness tests. Okay? We're supposed to be abounding. Okay? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? everything you do for Christ will last. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You just keep on going. You do what God wants you to do, and God is going to give the increase. God is going to give the increase. These four things will last. But will we last in our dedication to Him? Will we last in our love to Him? Oh, folks, let's have a lasting service for Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Hey, Father, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you for the time of meditation. Father, just search our hearts, Lord. Father, if someone does not know you, Lord, help them to receive a witness of your word tonight. That they would ask for forgiveness of sins, that they would accept your death on the cross for their forgiveness. And your resurrection to show that you have power over sin and death and you give eternal life. Lord, I pray that someone, Lord, will get saved. Another one will get saved. Lord, I pray that you help us, Lord, to look at these last things, Lord, and not forget them, but let them last in our lives. Lord, that we would just be your servants for all time. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.